Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Elohim Speaks, and we're here live and in living color. I'm going to turn the phone down. Okay. And we have a very interesting topic today. Boy, if the field may grow and the house may grow, don't understand the master's plan, how to get freedom. Well, these are some very interesting questions, but you know, we always start with love. Love is the act to make others feel good, you know? I was engaged in a conversation about 2 days ago, you know? And we had, they gave their opinion, I gave my opinion. And because my opinion was different to their opinion, they kind of got a little upset. This was about 2 days ago, you know? They kind of got a little bit upset, you know? And once I realized that they were getting upset because I didn't agree with what they were saying, I apologized. I said, look, I had no idea that me giving you my opinion would make you upset. I said, so we won't engage in this type of conversation no more because I have a very, very interesting thought process. And my thought process normally don't coincide with a lot of people's thought process, okay? Because I get right into what a solution would be that will solve the problem. Most of us, you know, are engaged in what the problem is, you know, and we talk about the problem all the time over and over and over and over, but I don't like to do that. I'll talk about the problem for a second, then I want to go to the solution, you know, although speaking about solutions on the air is kind of tricky because the 1% will take your solution, use it, and block you from using your own solution. But love is the act to make others feel good. And I always talk about love first because if we don't know how to love each other and we can't communicate with each other, how in the world are we going to come together to do anything at all, you know? Families, in the social media and all that stuff, I see there's so much a lack of understanding of what love actually is, you know? The way I talk about love coincides with the culture of read what you sow, you know? I mean, if you're going to commit an act that's not going to make the other person feel good, just don't commit the act because you wouldn't want them to do it to you. That's the culture of reap what you sow. And I'm in the process every week of trying to get us back to our original culture. It's going to be quite a trek. It's not as easy as you think, you know, but we have to focus on love, you know, and really try to love each person that you come in contact with. From my point of view, I don't care about the color of meat suit that you're in. When I see you, I see deity. I treat you as deity, and I respect you as deity. That's from my point of view, okay? And I think that's very interesting. So we're talking about love, and I think love is very important. We need to focus on love and keep love as a high agenda as to what we're doing and what we're all about, okay? Now that that's being said, let's get into the topic of the day. Boy, what a good one I picked today, right? I'm going to give you my explanation of these things now. If you have a comment or question, just hit one, and we can commence a little communication about the topic, okay? The first thing is, who is the field Negro? Now, we think in terms of the guy out there raking the leaves and planting the food and all that stuff, we think of that guy as a field Negro. Follow what I'm saying? Well, in the sense that Brother Malcolm first introduced this particular thought process, you know, the people working the field, they were the ones that came up with the name Cracker because of the white boy would be cracking the whip. That's why they called him Cracker. And the treatment was harsh. And the work was long, the work was sun up to sundown, and all they wanted to do, okay, was get out from under master. They don't care whether master lived or died. They had no opinion. They didn't care about that one way or the other. They did what they had to do because they were forced to do it, all right? They were forced through economics, forced through weapons, military might, and every doggone thing else. And they had to do what master say, whether they liked it or not, okay? So this is the field hand. Now, let's upgrade this just a little bit. To this day and time, most of us aren't working in the field, okay? But we're poor, and we're working poor. A lot of us are working jobs that we absolutely don't like, jobs that we absolutely can't stand. But we go to work every day because we don't have no choice. That's the only thing that they have set up in our thought process for a way for us to feed ourselves and to pay the rent and to take care of the children and things like that there. So we go to Walmart, we go to McDonald's, and we go to these places, and that's the feel, okay? And the field hands, you can talk to almost any of them, and they ain't really glad. They need the job, but much to them, you'll see. Those are the field hands. Now we have the, now the next question. Who is the house Negro? Okay. Now, the house Negro back in the day, like I said, when Malcolm introduced the concept, okay, he was the guy that was living under master. He had nice clothes. If you saw the movie Glory with Denzel Washington, you know, one of the guys that became one of Denzel Washington's semi-friends, he was a house Negro. Okay, he worked in the house. He helped master do his little chores and do whatever master deemed him to do. He dressed good. He ate like master, and he loved every minute of it. You know, it's just what it was for him. You know, if you saw the movie Roots, you know, I think I can't think of the brother's name after Shanga's brother. So he's such a profound actor. I think they called him Chicken George. No, it wasn't Chicken George. That was the ring. I'm thinking about the other guy that had his little shack, had his little hut that he worked all his life for. And Makuta Kente came in and he said, "Boy, I don't want you messing up what I worked so hard to get." You know? This is the house Negro. Now, this Negro that's been to college, he's been totally programmed by the 1%. Okay? And his perpetuate the agenda of the 1%, because he's making good money, he lives in a good house, he loves what master's doing, and he believes all the lies that master tell about how he's going to help him and all that, you know. But the 1%, they don't care about nobody. All they care about is the bottom line. They don't care about what you do or what you say, as long as you agree to perpetuate the system that keeps him in the position of master or lord, in the position of God as they see it. I'm not talking as you see it, because you've been programmed that the guy sits up on a chair someplace watching all that. That's your program. Okay, but that's not his program, okay? I'm not debating whether your program is right or wrong. I'm not into that. You know what I'm saying? We're looking for some kind of solution to the mental problems that we're going through. You know what I'm saying? Now, in the field of the house Negro, right? Okay, we upgrading. You know, from back then where he was taking care of clothes and washing and taking care of horses and all that for master, we upgrade to the technological age now, see? Now, the house Negro is a whole different person, all right? This the guy that got his 2 or 3 degrees, and he's bragging about how smart he is, you know, not realizing that those degrees don't make him smart. That means that he's been programmed to do a particular job for master, because when he started out in kindergarten, he was already smart. Didn't need none of the education to make him smart. He was already smart. But that's not the programming that we're under. See, this is the field Negro, okay? And when you talk to the field Negro, right? Now, then my next question is, how do we know the difference, okay? When you talk to the field Negro, he's trying to get more and more up underneath master and master's plan. That's the field Negro. Okay, when you talk to the house Negro, he's trying to find a way out. He says, "Man, I'm tired of working there. I'm working 2 jobs. I'm trying to raise my family. And, you know, I can't get no help from the bank. The bank is redlining me because I live in a certain district and things are going on, you know." Whew. When you talk to him, you can tell the difference. The field Negro is for the master's plan. And master will reward him ungodly for pushing and promoting his agenda. And I can't be mad at master for that. You can't be mad at nobody for being successful at what they're trying to do. okay? But I'm just pointing out the difference between when you run into these house Negroes, okay, you will know who they are just by talking to them, okay? They have a very low self-esteem about actually their group. I know we're talking about Negroes, but we have other groups that are going through the same problem. Now, this is what I really wanted to get into, to upgrade the thought process that Malcolm dropped. This term Negro, in this case, is not always is not always a particular group of people, but a system as it relates to them. Now we into something that we have to think about. That's going to bring about a solution to the problem, okay? This system relates to people the way they have the system set up to keep them as a master, okay? Now, when I use the term feel Negro, right, that's a system of government. It's an entire system that they have set up to keep a certain people. And trust me, when you look at the job market and the placement of the jobs, people that's working at Geno's and McDonald's and all those little places like that, you know, Walmart and all these places, they come in all colors. They're not just black people. There are all kinds of people there working in that particular system, which is the class system that they have set up, okay, to keep fostering a reward system for the people that help them promote their agenda. And the more you help them promote their agenda, the richer you get, the more money you get. You know, they're not going to elevate you to the 1%. You might make $500,000 a year on a job because you're managing thousands of people helping promote masses' agenda. So massive, when you're at the $500,000 you make, he's making $1 trillion. See what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, this is how he has the system set up. Now, when Malcolm X spoke about it, he related it to the black people and how he's working on farms and stuff. But in reality, it's the system itself. It doesn't really pertain to a particular person. You have to analyze the system itself. This system is set up so you have the poor, working poor, you have the lower middle class, upper middle class, which there is no middle class in this society, because if the rich people are making millions of dollars a year and all you make is $150,000 a year, how could you be middle class? You see what I'm saying? It's all about the thought process. It's all about the programming. You follow what I'm saying? So when you talk to people, you can tell who's who and what's what. Now, if you're looking for your freedom, it ain't no sense in troubling the middle class. The house Negro. There's no sense in troubling him because he's happy where he is, and he's not going to upset the apple cart. This is what was happening in Roots. Boy, don't you be coming here messing up what I done built, what I done made, like he got something great. And he doesn't. It just seemed great compared to the other slaves. And what's going on, like if you're making $1 million a year, you know, you're living in a nice upper middle class neighborhood, three car garage, swimming tennis court out there, you know, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. You know what I mean? You don't want none of these downtown Negroes, though, downtown people, I'm going to say, because it's about the system at this particular point. You don't want none of these downtown people coming up there messing up what you got. Oh, no. You call a cop on them, throw them in jail, whatever you have to do to get them away from you. You don't socialize them no more. Our people, I'm talking about the Negro now exclusively, but this is in all of the communities across the country. As soon as they make a certain amount of money, they're out. That's what I liked about Kenny Gamble. He made all that money, but he didn't leave West Philly. His house still there in West Philly. I used to have a property right down the street from him. His house still in West Philly, but the swimming pool and all that, but he didn't leave. He stayed in the community, you know? See, brothers like that, an example that they show, you know, it's something for us to deal with, because he bought houses down here in South Philadelphia. He set up a mosque. He started helping people, doing things, you know what I mean? He brought his money back to the community to help out. this is what we need to be doing. But see, the house Negro, oh no, once he out, God bless me to get out, and I ain't never going back again. He's not thinking in terms of anything other than the master's plan. Okay, this is what's going on, you know. Now here's my next question. Okay, now we have to think in terms of system. How does system work? Okay, part of my MO is the system analysis. Okay, this is why I deal with solutions a lot of time rather than just deal with the problem. Okay, now my next question was, how do poor people win the war against rich people? Did I answer that question? Okay. How do poor people win the war against rich guys? We'll never be able to catch up with the rich folks. But you have to realize that based on how this class system is set up, okay, sure, a few people own most of the wealth, do not own more wealth than the entire rest of the community. See? So the progress comes from us uniting, working together. Okay? Now how can we be successful uniting our little few pennies to get something together? Everything in this system evolves around the land. As black people, I use the term loosely because I actually know who you are. As black people, so-called black people, I say it like that. As so-called black people, right, you owned all of this, okay? You owned all of this land at one time, right? Now, if you check your DNA chart, none of us are originally from here, but we got here before the European did. So we have claiming rights. We have the right to the land, okay? Thus, the indigenous title came in, but if you go to Black's Law Dictionary and look up the word indigenous, you might not use that word that much once you look up and see what the word really means. But anyhow, you know, we can call ourselves the original people of this land. We can call ourselves that. The term aboriginal, we can call ourselves that. You follow what I'm saying? Because we have claiming rights because we was here first, okay? But none of that matters when they came with the guns. They came with the military and army and the guns, and they took everything you had. Why? Why were they able to do that? Because we came here under the Lemurian system. You know, one brother on Saturday talks about this group, the Lemurian group. I've read about all the groups that he talks about. But the Lemurian group, They're from off planet. They come from off planet, and they got here before the landmass split up. Okay, and they spread throughout all the landmass. Okay, so yeah, we came to this landmass first, although we're not indigenous, so to speak, to this planet. Okay, but in a sense, we are indigenous to this particular land, saying that we were here first. I'm trying to make this more palatable so we can see what's really going on, okay? In order to win the war, rich versus poor, the poor has to come together and unite. That's the key to the whole thing. We can't unite if we don't know what love is. We can't unite if we don't know who we are. And we're not going to find out who we are by looking at this meat suit that we're running around in. Ancestors left books for us of the mistakes that they have made. And a lot of us aren't reading those books. We're throwing these books in the trash, you know. But you got to remember the 1%, the people that you're going up against, they're using these books as a guideline. These are the law books. These are the books that they're using. I'm talking about the Bible, the Quran, Odyssey, Bhagavad Gita, these type of books. They're using these books as guidelines on how to control and manipulate you to keep them in the position of master. So if you want to challenge these guys, okay, you got to read what they're reading. You know, you can't read what they put out and expect to be as good as they are. They're not putting out nothing that's going to help you knock them off the pedestal of master. That's not why they're training you. They're not training you to be master. They're training you to work for master. But there is a master inside of you. And you can go in and figure this thing out. It's not as complicated as it seems. But the first thing you have to realize, right, if you're going to upset the apple cart, you have to position yourself. They will fight for their way of life. They love being master. And they will fight. They will put armies together. And they will come after you with everything they got. You from knocking them off their position of master. Okay, I'm just saying. And you can't be mad at them because this is what they do. This is who they are. If I understand. And we get into the position where we think that it's personal between one group or another group. No. The master that we're talking about had slaves of every color meat suit. Black, brown, red, yellow, and white have all been slaves under master. Okay? Now, they might call a different name, and they might call a black person a slave. The black meat suit, he's a slave. The white meat suit, he's an indentured servant. He's not a slave. But slavery is slavery. It's still slavery. If I understand, they use different names, they use different things to throw you off, so you don't know what their agenda is. Their agenda is the same as it was when they came here and hooked up with President Hayes and them, and they looked at this system and said, oh, man, what a system this is. You think George Washington and the guys, right, and here these guys, slave owners, land barons, right, you think they're going to write documents saying that all people are created equal? No, they stole it from Hayes and them. The Bill of Rights, all this stuff comes from President Hayes and them, okay? And they have been stealing and robbing from all over the planet ever since they learned how to build a military. I'm going to say that again because a lot of us don't realize that. Ever since they learned how to build a military, you know what I'm saying? They've been robbing, stealing, taking what they want, okay? Now, if we're going to upset the apple cart, right, it don't have to be violent, all right, because they will succumb to force, economic force, okay? They will succumb to economic pressure, but you got to put that kind of pressure on them. But in order to do that, you have to be able to understand the system itself. You got to know how this system works. All right? You got to learn the system, learn how it works, and participate in it. All right? When they have these little town halls, these little meetings, you should be sitting right there asking questions, finding out what's going on. You should be involved in all, from the block captain all the way up to the president. You should be involved in all of that. Okay? Now, whatever choice you make, that's fine. I don't have a problem with who you want to pick or whatever you pick, as long as you're involved in the process, okay? Because we're not going to all make the same choices because we were not all programmed. Let me say it this way. We were all programmed the same way, but all of us don't receive the programming the same way. I feel like that because the program they set up is across the board. It's the same program for everybody. But everybody's, based on their thought process, don't actually receive the program the way the next guy received the program. This is where your culture comes in. Or read what you sow. See what I'm saying? You're not going to malign the guy because he made a choice different than yours. See what I'm saying? You don't want him maligning you because you made a choice different than his. See what I'm saying? That's his choice. And if we start looking to each other as deity, that's who we are. I'm watching a story called Person of Interest on Netflix. Okay? They invented this AI, artificial intelligence. And they're calling the artificial intelligence God. And when two gods go to war, no telling them what's going to happen. Conscious energy, God, but that's not what they want you to perceive. When you hear him talking on television, or because you're not programmed like that, okay? That's one of the mistakes that so-called black people made when the two times, or the Romans, or the Europeans, depends on how you call them, first came off that little island and started wondering and looked and saw all the magnificence and glory of what was coming out of Canada. They said, oh, my God, look at this. They had goal. When the rulers of Kemet came to a country, the whole gold, the whole stock market, everything changed because they brought so much gold and stuff with them. They had so much wealth. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, oh, my God. So they sent their children to the Kemetic schools to learn everything that they're doing, everything that the 1% has set up. It came from the Kemetic structure, going back through the Dogons all the way back, you know, to when what they call in Africa was half of it was just called Sudan, half of it. I got maps showing how the topography was back then, 5,000-6,000 years ago, you know. But they came to learn, and once they learned, they said, wait a minute. But they came during the time of the kings and queens. And that's what threw everything into a tailspin, because that's how we lost the dynasties that we had. That's how we lost everything, because we went into that king queen thing, which is dictatorship, family bloodlines, and nobody could be the king or the queen and stuff. It was my children, yada yada yada. But everybody felt like they should be kings and queens as well. And the wars and the fighting continued because everybody wanted to be the king or the queen, you know? So when they came in, that's what they learned under. And if you want to know exactly how that thing works, right, not from the king and queen, but how it's set up now with the baron-type mentality, right, there's a show on Netflix called The Badlands. If you get a chance, if you got Netflix, go and watch this series called The Badlands. And it explains everything. They are going to war for the slavery, the stealing, the murdering, the gambling, the cheating, and all that stuff. This is the culture that they're fighting for because it keeps them in the castle. As long as they stay in the castle, they're fine. They put military together and everything else to make sure that anybody comes against them, you know, it's treason. Have your head cut off. Do you know that it's an act of treason just to suggest that you don't want the queen to be the queen no more? You know what I mean? You can't be mad at her. You know what I mean? This is the culture that she likes. This is what she wants, okay? So you can't be mad at her for protecting and defending it. You see what I'm saying? But you have to sit down, learn, and understand what's going on so that you can defend what you want to do for you and your children, how you want your children to be free. Now, you got to look up the word freedom, too, because the programming and what they give us for freedom ain't what freedom is. They got some strange programming out here, you know, and it's not weird, because everything is designed to keep them in power, you know. And if we foster the plan the way the house Negroes do, our children will constantly be moving towards and perpetuating the plan of the master. All right? Now, that's their decision. If they decide that's what they want to do, that they don't want to become the master, they don't mind working for masters as long as they've been mellow as the master treat them good, well, that's fine. You can't be mad at them either. You know, this is why our ancestors have decided, instead of just go down fighting, die fighting, killing everyone that supported the master, they decided to just acquiesce and stay here and give it a chance over time to see if things change or things get better. And actually they did, you know, seemingly. Actually they did. But when you get into the system, the system ain't changed. When Obama came in, system ain't changed. He couldn't change the system. He put some things in place as a Democrat that would help the system over time. See, the Republicans, they knew. Him master said, oh, no, this Negro thinks he's sick. We're not going to let him upset the apple cart here, where they will have the potential to become masters, you know, of their own land. So they got in, and everything Obama did, they went like, unless that's all the man did ever since he'd been in office, was undo all the things that Obama put in place to help the poor and the working class. That's what he was doing, you know? All the restrictions. The restrictions was there for a reason. The restrictions was gone. Everything is gone that they put in place. Now, it's the question of Republican or Democrat, okay? But both of them is the same system, you know? But the Democrats, so far, over the last maybe 20 years or so, have been more tolerant towards the poor and the people that are running from the mayhem that they're causing in this country. They're coming from Honduras, but the 1% is causing a problem down there, you know, which makes them run here thinking that they're on your side, so you're going to come here for protection. But they're not on your side. They don't care nothing about you or the horse you rode in. Now, remember, if you want to join the conversation, all you got to do is press 1, okay, and you can make a comment or whatever you want to say, okay? Now, here's the next thing that I want to get into. As we go on now, I'm going down my list, right? Will the race war ever end? Okay? If you have answers to these questions, hit 1, you know, we can talk about it, okay? And also, I'd like to thank everybody that's on the line. I appreciate you calling and listening in. Thank you so much. So, will the race war ever end? As long as there are races, the 1% going to make sure that the race war don't end. Because of the vision, see, the key to poor people's success is uniting. And the key to their success is to make sure that you don't unite. So they're going to do everything they can to keep you from uniting. Okay? So for sure there's going to be a race war. Now, the only way that the race war would end, if you go back to your original culture and stop dealing with the meat suit as a race, okay? Because the meat suit is not a race. The meat suit is the suit that you're wearing while you're in this particular dimension. That conscious energy that's in the meat suit, that's what you need to focus on. I think how did Martin Luther King say it? Stop judging a man by the way they look, but the contents of the character. Well, that's what he's talking about, you know? Don't look at a person automatically assume that they're dumb. Don't look at a person automatically assume that they're smart. Ask them questions. See what's on their mind. See what kind of thought process that they have decided to accept for themselves. That will tell you what kind of conscious being that you're dealing with, you know what I mean? And once you realize that who that conscious being is, what that conscious being is, then you talk to and you deal with that person based on their consciousness. Because in most cases, you can't go outside the person's consciousness. You're just going to be arguing and fussing. That's like our Jehovah's Witness get together and our Muslims get together. They'll be talking all day long, but that Jehovah's Witness ain't never going to be no Muslim. That Muslim ain't never going to be no Jehovah's Witness. They can be going at it forever and ever and ever. You see what I'm saying? So it's like if I go to a Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, I'm just going to sit there and listen to the mindset of what they think about it. I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to just jump up and start trying to change what's going on. I'm there to learn about their thought process. If I go to the mosque, same thing. I'm just going to sit there and learn because I want to know about their thought process. That's when I call the different shows, and I listen. I want to know about their thought process. I don't say too much to upset the show because the people that are calling into the show like the thought process of the person that's hosting the show. So I don't try to do too much to upset the show, upset what's going on as far as the host is concerned. I don't challenge the host too much, you know. Maybe once in a blue moon or night, but almost never do I challenge the host of the show, you know, because it upsets the rhythm, upsets the flow, and all of that, you know what I mean? Once again, this is the Elohim Speak Sunday. I'm here every Sunday from 8 to 9. PM in the evening because I have so much other work going on Sunday in the daytime, so I had to change the time. And I know you guys have a lot of things to do, and the brothers and sisters are all on the line. People, I appreciate you calling in and telling me what's going on, okay? The calling number is 516-453-9230, and that's Eastern time that we're here. The topic for today is who is the field Negro? Who is the house Negro? How do we know the difference, okay? The other questions that I'm throwing in there is how do poor people win the war against rich people? These are things that you can think about because you, in my mind, you are a deity, and you can come up with solutions problems that we're facing. How do we end the race war? And that's where we're at right now. Now, let's think about that for a minute. How do we end the race war? The only way we can end the race war is to eliminate the thought process of being part of a race, you know? I'm looking at the RBG community, powerful community, okay? And I'm on a show the other day, and he made a comment that he don't know where RBG, where the people under the red, black, and green are making any building bridges or something. something like that, denigrating the RBG community, you know. But the largest organization in the black community was set up by Marcus Garvey, who was representative of the RBG community. I don't think that they really know what the RBG community is. You got whole countries that they're red, black, and flag. That's their flag, red, black, and green, you know. It comes from Kemet. What most people don't know, I'm just going to say this right quick, what most people don't know is that the red, white, and blue are actually Kemet colors, too. Look it up. You got Google. Look it up. The red, white, and blue and the red, black, and green, both of them come out of Kemet, okay? I know most people don't know that. Wait a minute. Oh, the white boy came out with red. No, he didn't. He didn't come up with anything. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He looked into what you were doing, studied, learned, and began to duplicate what you have done. So that's what you need to do. You need to go back into your own culture and begin to duplicate what gave you the global what gave you the global position on the planet in the first place. That's where you need to go. Not forward. You need to go backward to go forward, okay? And if you start putting your children on the original culture of reap what you sow, your children won't be going to jail. Those jails will empty out. Generation to generation to generation, the jails will be empty. They have to make up new stuff to get you to lock you up, okay? And they can't lock you up for what you're talking about. They can't lock you up for crimes that you're not committing. Well, they do that too. They got a lot of people in jail. They haven't done anything. They trumped up, made up charges, lied on them. You know what I mean? That's what some of the movement members are going through right now. You know what I'm saying? But dealing with the RBG community, that's the red, black, and green community. There's a community out there. Okay, of people promoting Rebecca Bay, and Garveyites are doing that. Do you have other groups that are involved in that as well? Garveyites on my mind. That's the first thing coming to mind because I used to be a part of the Garvey hookup. They got degrees and all that stuff that they can build and do things. You'd be amazed at how powerful and what the RBG community is doing, especially in Nigeria and Ghana. Oh, boy. You will be amazed at how powerful the RBG community is, and you might need to check it out. What you can do to learn what your children are talking about, they have a black program on YouTube called Sonetta TV. You can go to Sonetta TV. It's an all black show, all paid for by black and everything else, Sonetta TV, you know, that way you can get away from Fox News and CNN and some of the other crazy news channels and find out some other things that I want to children are doing, and you'd be surprised when those children are out there debating themselves. You'd be surprised at what you can learn from your from those children. They are amazing. I'm just amazed at how smart they are. You know, I'm listening to Brother Polite one day, and he was explaining that vitamin B12 is actually made by the body, but only certain hours. And I checked it out, and he was right. You know, because we're under the thought process that the body don't make vitamin B12. We got to go get it from some source. But the body makes that too, but not all day long, only during certain hours that the body makes vitamin B12. Who knew? You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot we can learn from our children. There's a lot to learn that we can do. Like I said, if you have a comment or you want to make a statement or something, just press 1, and I'll open the mic, and I'll let you go ahead and do what you have to do, okay? And say what you have to say, and we can comment, or we can go back and forth on what's going on. We only have, what we got here, about 20 minutes? We got about 20 more minutes to go. Okay, well, since nobody pressed 1, again, I want to thank everybody for calling on the line. I appreciate it, okay? The next thing that I wanted to put in your mind as a thought process as how hard would it be to change the culture from what it is to read with yourself? How hard would it be to get out of this culture that we're in and embrace the culture that we actually came out of? See what I'm saying? Once they switched from that culture and went into the king and queen culture, they talk about that in the Bible too, you know? They talk about that in the Bible, how they switched from the deity thought process to the king and queen thought process. That's when Harry would come into King David and Sheba and all that. They there, you know. Well, I'm a Bible thumper, so I read the Bible a lot. But I just like I broke down the story that Malcolm X set up, who's the field negro, who's the house negro, is not really dedicated to a particular people, but it's a part of how our system works. And once you start taking it out of the concept of the meat suit and put it in the concept of how the system works, you better understand what's going on. Because a lot of people didn't really understand the field hand house they knew. But the way he put it was so beautiful. I mean, Malcolm, he was a special guy. I mean, he was very charismatic. The way he used his terms and stuff was very good. You know, him, I like some of the things that Dr. Yorkby said as well, you know. but and I use some of the things that they say sometimes, you know. But once you start dealing with systems themselves and start understanding how the systems work, then you know who you're dealing with and how they're preparing themselves for the future based on the different compartments of the system, all right? Now, if you're trying to get freedom, okay, you don't want to hook up with people that are trying to get more into what the slave master's plan is, you know, what the master's plan is, okay? So, because they're not going to in no way help you get free from what's going on, okay? Now, but you can learn from each other, okay? Because there's certain things that they're thinking, certain thought process that they have that will help you on your journey to understand the system. Believe it or not, the ones that are trying to, that are vehemently trying to get into more close to master, what master thought, they learn the system pretty good. They know the system. They know how the system works, all right? But they don't think in terms of making the system work to get people free. They just want to make the system work so they can get more accoutrement, stuff like that that they need for themselves and their family. And you can't be mad at that, okay? You can't be mad at a person who wants to be successful in an area where they are. You know, rather than trying to swim upstream, they just get on the boat and just ride the boat downstream and no trouble at all. Yo, what's up, man? You know, they don't have to row or nothing. The water just take them right downstream where everything else is going. And it's pretty easy for them. And they like that. And that's okay. Okay? That's okay. We can't be arguing and fussing and fighting each other over the different decisions that we make for ourselves and our family or our tribe. You know? So we have to be careful how we're approaching people, what we're saying to people, and what we're doing to make make this world a better place, because we can, okay? Now, to change the culture actually is a lot easier than you think. All you have to do is accept the culture. Once you accept the culture and get into the culture and start giving it to your children, and lo and behold, lo and behold, hold on for a second. My board just went down, but it's okay because I have everything set up on another line, and according to the other line, you can hear me because I can hear myself on the other line. So the thing's still going on. Wait a minute. At any rate, you know, it's not hard to go back to your original culture, okay? You can do that. It's, I'm trying to get the word back up real quick. I just have to put in a right password. I don't know if anybody's trying to log in or whatever. You know? Okay, there it is. It's back up now, okay. I see we have one hand up. That's what I'm saying. The board went down. I didn't know who was where or what was going on. But it's not going to be hard to change the culture, okay? And I don't know what the thought process is on. It's probably not. So we're going to open Max up and see if you have a comment or a statement or whatever you want to say. Let me get what's going on here. Okay, Brother Max, right. Can you hear me? Okay, I can hear you. We're on. Okay, do you have a comment or statement or something you want to say about what's going on?
I have a question. that others might have as well. I need some clarification between the system and the culture. When you say that to change the culture is to accept the culture, but we have just been talking about the system is more or less what we need to change. We need to change the system, accept our culture. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, the culture and the system, they're two different things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can give you an example of this. It's like if you have a bicycle, right? And you want to ride your bicycle backwards, okay? And everybody that's with you ride their bicycle backwards.
Right.
Everybody from the guy ride their bicycle forward. There's nothing wrong with the bike. But the people that's riding their bicycle backwards, they're running into trees, they're falling off the bike, and they're trying to figure out what's wrong. They're trying to change the bike, but it ain't the bike. It's the way they're riding it. There's nothing wrong with the system, because the system come out of Kemet. So we made up the system. The system is fine. But it's how they're riding the system that's creating the problem, okay? So now you have a guy like Trump who's lying out of his face. But if he was on the culture group, which is so, he wouldn't do that. That would change things. Like the policies that he's implementing, you know, taking people from the children and stuff like that. They're under read what you sow. He wouldn't do that because he don't want anybody to take his children. So why he taking somebody else's children? See what I'm saying? If he knows that the United States has started these problems in Honduras, you know, and when the Hondurans that are on the United States side come here for protection, he wouldn't block them because he wouldn't want that to happen to him. So that's the difference between that's the difference in culture. See what I'm saying? How you ride the bike. So it's how you ride the system, how you participate in the system, okay? That's what's going on with the field hand, with the field Negro and the house Negro, see? The house, the field Negro, don't want to ride the system the way the master has it set up. But the house Negro, he loves to ride the system the way master has it set up, okay? So the house Negro is not going to try to do anything to change the system because he's enjoying it. He's having a good ride, you know? But the field hand, the way he's being forced to deal with the system, he don't want to ride it like that. He want to ride it a different way where he can have more benefits, things like that there. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about culture. The difference between culture and system is how you use the system, okay? Same thing if you got a car. Somebody drives a car, they drive crazy, running through real life all over the place, and next thing you know, they're crashing up car after car after car, you know? Another person get the same car, never have an accident, never get a ticket, never get anything. It's how they're riding the car. There's nothing wrong with the car, but how they're riding the car. Did that answer your question? Did that help a little bit in the thought process that you were dealing with?
I think it does, but I think it at the same time that it confuses me unless. I think that I'm hearing you say that the difference between a culture and a system is how or what you do with the system.
You do with it. See, that's a mistake. Well, I guess you could say what you do with it, but it's how you use the system.
Right.
What you do with a system, how you use it, I guess that's the same term. You use that a certain term out. It's interchangeable, you know. Yeah, so what's confusing about what I said? You said you're confused about?
No, my confusion is whether or not I understood what you were saying. I was sort of giving it back to you to see if I was on the right track. With your explanation that the difference between the system and the culture is determined by how you use the culture or how you use the system.
Well, see, it's a terminology, the thought process that you're bringing to the table. See, You're saying the difference between a system and a culture. That's like apples and oranges. That's like apples and oranges. You know, apples and apples, oranges and oranges. Now you have the difference in cultures and the difference in systems. But you don't have a difference between the culture and the system. See what I'm saying? Because now you have different systems. And the systems are different. You have different cultures. And the cultures are different. But to use the term difference between culture and system is that takes you into a thought process that's not a reality. Let me put it like that. You know, it takes you into a thought process that's not a reality. Because if you're dealing with culture, you're dealing with cultures. There's different cultures all over the world, all different kinds of cultures. If you're dealing with systems, there's systems all over the world. A culture and a system are two totally different things. So there's not a difference between them. One is one and the other is the other. Like an apple is an apple and an orange is an orange. You know? Well, then they're both fruit. So maybe I'll use the wrong example. That takes me back to the old algebra days. This is a guy, I mean, apples and oranges. That was wrong with this guy, you know? But just saying. But they're two different things, you know. One is one thing, and the other is the other thing. So you could use the term the difference between the two. The difference between the two is that they're two different things.
Okay, I think I understand.
Like you can see
now, when you explain that. That out of Kemet came the systems that the Europeans have used to conquer the world.
Okay, I'll explain why I say it like that. Okay. And if you, when I say that they got the system from Kemet, I didn't say they used this system to conquer the world. I haven't said that. I say they used the Bible in the books that our ancestors left to conquer the world. If you remember me saying that, they took this Bible and conquered the known world with it. You know what I'm saying? They used the Bible as a culture. And we've taken the Bible, throwing it in the trash. That's what I say all the time. They take the Bible and conquer the known world with it. But the system by itself, without the culture from the Bible, would not allow them to conquer the world. Because you got quite a few countries using this system. See? But the Queen, the Pope, and the District of Columbia, the three-nation state, the culture from the Bible is what enabled them to conquer so many territories, not the system itself. See? So I don't remember. I'm getting like a politician. I don't recall. I don't recall saying that they use a system to conquer the world. But it's the culture coming from the Bible. That's what they use to conquer the world. You know what I'm saying? Because the system is the same. You know, the way Hayes had it and George Washington stole it, and same system. You know, when they went to Kemet to get it, same system. The Republic was by Nama to help fight the Hyksos dealing with the up. And, that's how he used a Republic system to help him defeat the other half of Egypt. Which was called Scorpion King. They had a movie about it, but they didn't tell you that was the other half, the southern leader of Kemet. But so they used to conquer Kemet. It's a republic. A republic is a war machine. And the first war machine that was constructed in Kemet. That's why I say that it comes from Kemet. Because remember, I know you remember from your studies, that we didn't have professional soldiers at one time. The farmers would get together, even if it was the Chinese movies and everything. The farmers would get together, and they would take the farmers and put them in the army and go fight. But once the Republic was set up, he said they set up professional soldiers that all they did full time was fight, protect, and stuff like that, you know, and that come out of it. So it's the culture that's the conqueror, not the system. Now, the system is important, but it's the culture that does the conquering. And that's the influence that I was trying to make when I say they took the Bible and conquered the known world, and we're throwing it in the trash, you know? Which, I hope that helped, and which brings us to the last question. What story in the Bible will help you gain freedom around the world? You see? That brings us right to the next. That shows you how powerful the culture coming out of the book is, you know? That I can ask a question like that. What story in the Bible will help you gain freedom around the world? Now, we've all heard the story of Moses, right? But when I think about what was the moral implication of the story of Moses, it wasn't the fact that he was thrown in the river, although we can do that, dealing with the maritime law and all that, coming through docks and all that, so we can do, we can use that. But the moral of the story was that he separated his people from an economic structure, a kemet. And once he found a place where he could be, right, he set up a centralized banking system for his people. The 10% went to the Levites. And with that money, or it could be the same as taxes or whatever, but with that money, they were able to collectively build houses and bridges, and they can afford armies and all that. That's why the 12 tribes got to be so powerful once they set up that central banking system that Moses said. And this is what they have been doing all over the world, coming right out of the Bible. They set up a central bank. You know, the Rothschilds and the five children with the bank. You know, they set up their own central banking system. We didn't have a centralized, in the United States, a centralized banking system. That's why they killed Abraham Lincoln, and because he was trying to set up a system for the United States with the greenbacks and all that. And I think within the 30s, that they went into, that they privatized everything and set the central banking system up with the Federal Reserve Bank, but it centralized their money and they separated their money from the government. See, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to separate their money from the nation states, which is the 52 states. You know,
right.
you got two United States here, right? And they want to, I didn't talk too much. We only got about 2 minutes to pick 6 seconds. Mac, why don't you go ahead and tell them about your show that comes on Saturday? And I only got about 2 minutes left. the subject is so fired up for me, I forgot about everything. I didn't miss the sister show or nobody's show. Go ahead. Tell them about the show, man.
Well, Legacy of a Nation is my show. It comes every Saturday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And we talk on four main topics, one each week. And the four main topics that we talk on are health. We talk about how to gain and to maintain the health of a nation. We talk about history. We explore who we are and how we got to be the way that we are. And when I say we, we're talking about the Aboriginal people of the Americas. That's North America,
Matt,
Central South America.
You're getting ready to run out of time. So if you can give us some numbers as to how they can get in touch with you, because we only got about 60 seconds here.
Thank you, Brother Ibrahim. All right. 6 to 7 p.m. every Saturday, and the number of the studio call-in is 319-527-6199. I'm Brother Mac, and my co-host is Sun 752. We'd love to have you call in and listen and comment.
I'd like you to give those numbers one more time, just a little slower.
All right. The studio number is 319-527-6199.
Okay, and with that, we got about, you're welcome, brother. With that, we got we got about 5 minutes. That's the Legacy of a Nation show every Saturday, okay, from 6 to 7 p.m. This is Elohim Speaks Sunday. We're here every Sunday between 8 and 9. We have some good things for you to think about, okay? That's what we want you to do. I don't deal with right or wrong. Whatever thought process that you're under, that you're comfortable with, then that's obviously where you should be at, okay? But I want you to think differently about what's going on. I want you to think differently about what you're being programmed to think, okay? And that's what we offer. We offer a different thought process just to make you think about things a little differently, okay? Am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. But it's just a different way of thinking about things, and we do have a concept of how to solve a lot of the problems that we're under, okay? And with that, I'm Elohim, and the calling number for this show is 516-453-9230. Thank you very much. And for those who have called in, I appreciate you being on the line, and I will definitely chat with you again next week. Love you.